Landscaping, Minnie Lowenstein, Oral History, Pittsburgh Section, February 7th, 1992. Could you just state your name one more time?
Minnie Lowenstein.
Thank you. We'll just count to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you said your brother, there were people from your brother's town, and that, what did you organize?
Yeah. And we ran together from Germany. So there we organized horse and wagon, mm-hmm. and we started traveling by horse and wagon. Wherever we got, they said the Germans are here, and the Germans are there, and wherever you want to go.
Did you see Germans on the side of you?
No, I didn't. So we got in.
In other words, they were always right behind you or side.
Listen, they came by planes. And we were just...
they were just bombing from overhead,
yes,
killing
yes,
whatever they could, and then they were coming from behind the troops and coming in back of them.
When we came to this town and we went to this train station, it was all bombarded. So anyway, we stopped crossing a little forest. Friends of ours, and me and my husband, and all of a sudden the bombs start coming on us. By luck, we ran the right way, and they ran a different way. We never saw them again.
Your other the friends that you're traveling with?
Yes, because what had happened to them, I don't know. So, and with the horse and wagon, we went a certain time till finally we reached station where they had loaded wagons with coals on a train, and we got on top of the coals. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how we looked?
You just jumped onto.
We just crawled up on the coals.
Was the train being run by the Russians or the Germans?
By the Russians. Mm-hmm. No, there was no Germans. We wouldn't reach no place.
Yeah, they were just in the air.
We didn't. Yes. And when the bombs start coming with the planes, my husband used to jump down all this. I was sure he'll hurt himself, he'll cripple or kill himself. And we ran in, the train stopped and started leaving out smoke, mm-hmm. to hide where we are, not to hit the right place. And we ran in cornfields. Mm-hmm. They came down, and down they were shooting on us.
From the plane?
Yeah, and who was lucky came out alive. We traveled to another station, and then we took another train. And this train took us to Krasnodarsky Krai on the Ukraine.
So you were just getting on trains wherever they were going, just to get away?
Yes.
So after the coal train, there was another train?
You had to, right. Yes. And we reached this place, and they let us off there to a little hutter, they call it, a little farm. And we stayed there for a while. There was an old couple of Ukrainians, and I didn't even know how much. Me, I cut a girl's hair, I got a piece of bread. Another girl's hair, a couple eggs.
Were we sleeping in the barn?
This couple took us in. They gave us a little room with a short little bed. It was short. We couldn't
Were there other people
out.
With
yes.
you?
Yes, many people there. In the morning, we used to go in the field to pick tobacco leaves, and then they put them on the string for putting them to heat, to dry.
So that was a hotel in the Ukraine? Called? Oh, it's like a farm.
It was a small farm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big it was, but one house was here, one God knows where.
Would you say the people were helping the people then?
They helped, especially I was lucky. As I say, I didn't know how much talent I have. You know, the Ukrainians, how they wear the shirts. She gave me some material, and I printed a design on the shirt and top and on the sleeves and on the bottom.
You were a designer.
she gave me all kind of color threads, and I sewed this out, and for this I got every day washed. Mm. There was already, I was so fed up with it, I couldn't eat it. And I said, I don't want anymore, so she stopped giving me. And we got hungry again. So I asked her for borscht, and if I didn't want to eat it, we was in this little house with a step, you was on the other side window. I threw it out. I went there. So we were there for a while, and then I, in fact, there where I became pregnant with my son.
How did you have a baby? How did you save the baby?
Well, by luck, thanks God, there was no place where to make an abortion. Otherwise, there was no time for having children.
Right.
So from there, I said to my husband, we have to see how to get out of here. There was the big city, Krasnodar, I said to my husband.
What's it called, Krasnodar?
Krasnodar.
Well, you know, you were there this whole time, so the Germans never reached this far.
No, no, we were going away all the time, away in deep Russia.
But when you stayed in this farm, the Germans never got there.
Yes, they got. After we were gone, they was there once, they chased them out once, and they was back again there, because we communicated with this lady, with this old lady.
So it was just,
and she wrote to us after, we want to come back.
So it was lucky that you had left, because after you left, the Germans did make it there.
Right.
And did they kill the people there?
Oh, yes.
What made you decide to leave?
Well, that's me. I like to guide and to go.
You didn't feel safe there?
No. And there was no future. Mm-hmm. And you can't live.
Were there Jews living there?
There was only refugees who ran with us together. There was a full train.
Right.
So from there, we went to this city. And my husband went to the train station and saw there is a train who is leaving to Central Asia. In Central Asia, there is war. And we have no clothes. On the way running, whatever you had, you lost. You could step on clothes and you wouldn't look back to pick up.
What did you have on? Your wallet? That's about
well,
whatever
what
you
we had on, not much. Mm-hmm. We didn't have much. In fact, when we came and we saw there, my husband went, and when we saw there was a train leaving to Central Asia, my husband went back to take the few things that we had, a few potatoes with a little oil. See, I'm a cosmetologist. I'm not only a beautician. At home, I used to make creams
mm-hmm.
for the face.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do in the wild, make faces. So on the way, I was shaving the man. Yeah, my barber too. And from this, we made a few rubles, and when the train stopped, we ran to, my husband used to run to buy a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Many times I cried for hunger on the way. So, and we were on a train, but it was loaded with sacks of lamb's wool. Lice, you never saw something like it in everybody got filled up with lice. When we arrived to Central Asia, 4 weeks we were on this train.
Mm, 4 weeks. And
four
it's not
weeks.
Like you just had a little chair or a little...
What chair? This
They're
was
just
this was a freight train.
Freight
was,
train.
Sure.
Freight train.
Yes, and it was divided. They put wood on top, like they put shelves on top, and there was people sitting on top and sitting on the bottom.
And you slept there and whenever you could?
That's right. When the
got
train
off the
stopped,
train to go to the bathroom?
Yes, when the train stopped, we went out to
so that
naturally.
Was for 4 months, 3 or 4 months?
Weeks.
Four weeks.
So when we arrived to Tashkent, everybody went down.
That's Central Asia.
Yes, the capital.
What was it called?
From Uzbekistan, Tashkent. All of us went to this river, took off the clothes and started picking the lice and throwing in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there we slept in a park for a few days and to see what we do further. From there, we went to a farm.
You didn't speak the language, though, did you?
Well, I didn't speak American either. English.
No, no, I
came
meant,
here.
You spoke
no,
Russian? You spoke
no, but I learned and I speak. I communicate as I communicate with you in English. Mm-hmm. Not perfect. Mm-hmm. But, and then I started the different problems. We had a diet of starvation there.
In Pakistan?
In Uzbekistan.
Right.
That it was warm there?
It was warm. But in the winter,
it was cold.
Cold spells too. So, and that's the way I...
Well, wait, you traveled with your baby? Or were you
No,
pregnant?
My baby was born there.
Oh.
I'll come to this.
Okay.
So, there, I used to shave the Uzbek. They shave their head. They are like Arabs,
mm-hmm.
Muslims. Make this fancy beard for them. And I made a few rubles. And for the weekend, my husband used to go to a farmer's market and buy a little rice, a little cornmeal, whatever, to stretch out
the weeks. Where would you
cook it? Well, we lived there. We got like a little chicken coop,
mm-hmm.
A shack. And there was a little stove, iron stove, and we collected sticks where we could there grow the cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And there my husband started working on the cotton field.
Did you have your equipment with you that you
yes,
used? Yes. That was your survival stuff?
Yes.
Shaver?
Home. I still have my instruments. Home.
Hmm. And the Germans
yes.
were not there?
Never. So, in there, I was pregnant. I was hungry. I never saw a doctor. And when I knew today is 9 months, the day I said to my husband, there is no nurse, no transportation. Let's go to the town where there is a hospital. So we walked there, me and my husband, for the devil here to town, through forests, hills,
nine
and
months
rocks.
Pregnant.
Nine. Full nine, the last day of the ninth month.
Mm-hmm.
And when we arrived there, I was all exhausted. They accepted me.
In
they
the
thought
hospital?
I'm ready mm-hmm. in the hospital.
What town was this? Big town?
Chakulabat.
Modern city? So
no.
No. But it was something. There was a doctor.
There was, it was a little town, and they had a hospital there. In fact, I was next door to the delivery room. There was a lady having a child. I was sure I'll die. How can I have a child when she was struggling? She must have had a very hard time. How can I have a child when I'm so hungry? And when I didn't have what to eat. When I came out from the hospital, I put on my girlish skirt and my waist was like this, which, like normal, like before having the child.
Because you hadn't gained hardly any weight.
I didn't have.
So you had. How was having the baby? Do you remember?
So this I'll come to it. I was there a week. And one day the nurse said to me, "You know, we are sending you home tomorrow. You are still not ready. At home, I have no sheep. There is no nurse. There is no nothing. In case I'll have to have the baby there, I'll die. How can I?" So when she told me this, and I saw how this lady was forcing herself,
mm-hmm.
today my son's an obstetrician. So I started forcing myself.
To have the baby.
Yeah, I didn't know how, but I started forcing. 3 o'clock in the morning, I had my son. Then the nurse came in the morning, she found me in bed.
You had the baby yourself?
Baby. No, in the
no.
hospital.
Oh. Somebody helped you, the doctor.
Well, the other was already, I was in the hospital.
Oh, you mean you were late with the baby, and they
yes.
said you had to
yes,
leave.
Yes, he came late. So in home, we walked home with the baby in the hand the same way as we went there.
Hmm.
Then, when I came home, living in this little shack, there was nothing. I left the baby in the room. And I went on the field where was growing wheat. And I was stealing, tearing off the wheat, putting in my pockets, coming in, collecting sticks from the trip, in making kaffir and drying out this and then cleaning. I would never know how this bead has like needles stickers when you try to clean this out. Sticks to your skin. And then I cleaned it up and I fried it again and browned it on top. In fact, when I was there, I had no diaper on what to take my son home. So there we met some of my brothers, a friend. He was there with his wife.
But you didn't know he was there?
We met once before, and she made two diapers, one, a slip of hers. So, and made a little on the head, a little head, and gave me a piece of blanket. And this is what I took my son home. And from this diaper, I put this bead on, a rock underneath and a rock on top, and I beat it up good, and I made a soup. And you never ate such a delicious soup in your life. So in
the soup was for you to eat.
From this I nursed my son. I nursed him 20 months because I didn't have what to feed him with.
But you were able to get food after that?
Yes, I was young and I had to, well, after this I saw that my husband was in the farm doing things.
How did you know how to grind up wheat? I mean, I guess you just learned it.
It's natural.
Uh-huh.
How would I know?
You just
beat it up and it's the best cereal.
Right. Did you circumcise your son?
No, till Germany. In Germany, I circumcised him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we came to Germany back.
Oh, you mean after the war?
After the war.
Well, let me go back. Then I interrupted you. Let me go back. You said, so you were feeding him and you stayed there for 22 months.
No, not there.
Oh.
He was a few months old.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my husband, we cannot stay here. He is a baker. You have to go to a town where we arrived the first station there, and there is a bakery. And he went there, he got a job in the bakery.
And this is during the war still?
During the war, naturally.
And in the same area?
In the same area. Puchkogan was the station. And then he was coming for the weekends and brought me a loaf of bread. This was something.
Oh, he stayed there and you stayed in the farm?
He stayed there for a while first. Then one day he came home and he sat carrying out the loaf of bread. The watch lady there took the bread away and he can't go back. I said, don't worry about it. You just go back. She took the bread. And it was the way I said it. So he went back, looked for a place there, so he found a room. To describe you the room, when I hear talking about how the people live with the black dirt, that's a room he found. It was an unfinished house. We moved in there. I had a mattress made of rags, and we put it on the ground. And for my son, I made the buggy. You know, it was an unfinished house, as I said before. From one pool to the other, I put a rope in the middle, a blanket, and that's the way I put my son there. And that's the way we slept on this ground. And there, one day, they start calling the young people to dress. So I went with my husband. I always, somehow, I was guiding that if he wouldn't reject, we would be in different place here too. Anyway, going on the way, he said he forgot his dress card. I said, you have no dress card. He said, no, he can't go without it. Well, who didn't have, they didn't dress. And he was the one who had, and they dressed
Wait, your husband?
Yeah.
Your husband did have a draft.
So they took him, but when they was registering, when it, till it got to him, it was fulfilled the quota. You can't remember to put this exact, that's no. The whole thing, because when I was pregnant once, this happened. Then there happened again, he was working in the bakery. And they drafted him in December away with a bunch of other young fellows, all Yiddish. I was left with my child. And whatever I had, I gave to him because I know I can survive.
So he was in the army.
So
which
he went,
army?
So wait a minute. On the end he was, but this didn't reach there. He went and he came in a town where they sent him to, they asked who wants to go to another place there to pick up bread to bring for the fellow. He went there and met some friends from his hometown. And they said, are you crazy to go? They did not send to the war then people. They sent them to Siberia in the ammunition factories. Until you reach there, you can die. So they took him off the train, and they took him away.
Who did? The friends?
Friends. And the last shoes what he had on, and the last coat what he had on, they took it for him, and they gave him a new identification card.
His friend.
With us. Instead to take our name, what we had, they gave, he gave himself the mother's name, Winter. And with this name, he went to a different town.
But one, you didn't know any of this?
No. But one day, he let me know where he is and what.
How did
what.
He let you know?
Through somebody, I got a letter. It was still in this area, not far. For the time what he was born, I have to survive. When we left this farm place to this town, there was another couple, and they asked me if I could take him in, and I took him into the same room. There was a couple and two kids. So I said, yes, I went to check my son to the doctor. There was a lady doctor. When I got there, she gave me a prescription. Maybe vitamins or whatever. She said, if you don't get this medicine here in the drugstore, with this prescription, you could take a ticket on the train and go to next stop and you can buy. Well, in Russia, you cannot travel from one place to the other without permission. And this was one, like a permission, the prescription. That's all I had to know. First, I went to this, I said to my neighbor, if I would have money, I could go with a train and go to a farmer's market and see maybe I can buy things there to sell here and to make some profit. So she lent me 100 rubles. When I got there, I didn't see anything that I can profit. I came back. I was so thirsty, you know, nursing my child and caring for him. There was a little stand with soft lemonade drinks. I went to buy the money what she gave me. I had a little jacket from home with a pocket and a safety pin from inside. I pinned it. And I felt there was a bunch of teenagers pushing. I didn't realize. All of a sudden, I was walking through a little forest to get home, a shortcut. I take a look, my pocket is cut and my money is gone. At this moment, I was thinking, the only thing is left for me to commit suicide.
Where was your son?
On my hands, on my arms. In the others, I thought, no, there is an expression, if money lost, is nothing lost. If you lose yourself, then you are lost. I came back and I was crying bitterly and I told them what happened to me. So you know, for survival, you do a lot of things. One day, these people was away from home, and there was living this Uzbeks, and there was going around chickens around, and I started calling, and I took in a chicken, wrapped it around, and I had a handbag, but I had to shave myself, and I took the chicken to a neighborhood where I lived before. There was Russian people, and they had the money. And I sold the chicken for 100 rubles. In fact, she lent me 200 rubles. So, these poor people, my heart ached to see they are calling the chicken, calling, but this chicken will never come back. And I gave them the 100 rubles. And then my husband worked in the bakery. He got a little package of tea. It was inflation. It wasn't the money, wasn't the value as normal as before the war. In this pack of tea, I went to the market and I sold it to 100 rubles. And I paid for them the 200. And then, as I said, the prescription, see, the prescriptions there wasn't printed like here. They put a stamp on. It's from a notebook cut out a certain size of paper. You put the stamp on and make the prescription. Well, that's all I had to see. And in time for survival, you have a crooked mind. There was plenty of speculants. You know what it means? The people who travel around make black money.
Speculators.
To travel on the train, you need to have permission.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing prescriptions.
You started to write prescriptions?
How did I? I took a notebook, cut out this size, and in this office where I went with my son, was working a cleaning lady, but also from Poland. I said to her, would you please put this stamp on these slips? I gave 20, 30 slips. And I was writing, and they found out everybody's prescription, all kinds of sickness, and I had to sign 3 doctors. And the signature, even God couldn't be able to read it out. And I survived this way.
So you sold the prescription pad,
sold,
which was basically like freedom to travel.
Yeah, and with this they could get a ticket on the train.
And you did that, and then you took the
I did this,
food.
Yes ma'am. So help me God, every word I tell you is the God's truth.
And you were able to
it's
feed
too much
son.
Truth. It needs no fiction.
Right.
So and then I was very happy already when I found out my husband is there, and there are 2 sisters now there in California. One of the sisters' husband was also in the same train, in the same place they escaped. So I made them prescriptions too. When it came to me to buy a ticket, I made a prescription for myself, and I signed only 2 doctors. And I went to the window, and the ticket lady said, you have only 2 doctors, I can't give you a ticket.
So for everybody else, you signed 3, and for yourself, you...
Yeah, so I took this, and I went in a corner, and I signed a 3rd doctor, and went to another window.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my ticket. And I was very happy to escape from there, because on the end, they catch up. You know, and if they catch up, there is no pity. You can have a child. I saw the children's homes there, how they die out for hunger because the help eat the food.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and I came to my husband. I came there and I found them a very miserable way, waiting for me. And there I started again what I can do. And it's so much to tell stories how once I went to, I came, I had a little already beans, a little rice. When I came, I had a few rubles. once I went to buy a bunch of wood to heat. We live there in a real chicken coop. In fact, the door was a square cut out where the chickens used to go to get in.
In this other town?
In the other town where I came to my husband. And his name was already Winter, not Lewis. And I remember, like now, I met his friends and they said, oh, when my wife will come, all my crops are over. So I remember she was calling after me, Fro Winter, Mrs. Winter. I didn't even turn my head. And when I got back home, I remember, oh my gosh, this is my name.
That's right.
Yeah. So and we functioned there as Winter. And then I saw there is no use.
You were living together?
With my husband, naturally. Yeah. I was afraid to go to work in a shop because they used to scare you, the Russians, if you are late, they put you in jail. But no more, I had no more choice, and I went to work in a barbershop. This shop was there where it was the meal, where they grinded the, they made the flour for the bakery. I tried to put my husband in the bakery, he should get in. It was hot, he couldn't, after I did. So anyway, I worked there, and I shaved this muslin, what they worked in the meal. And I walked in the meal with my baby, with a little blanket and a little sack I have, filled it up with a kilogram flour, and I put it there with the baby.